Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Ars Moriendi, the art of dying well. If death is the punishment for sin, then how does one die well? Well, that's the question we ask and answer in the September issue of The Lutheran Witness. We ask and answer the most common questions, fears, and doubts faced by Lutherans and Christians as they approach death. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
I have heard this many times as a parish pastor. As people contemplate their death, maybe they're contemplating it from afar, theoretically in a Bible class, or they might be contemplating it as something that's imminent. They say, I don't fear the dying. I know I'm going to go. I'll be with Jesus. I'll be raised on the last day. But I fear the pain that I must endure or I may endure before I die. Now, that's a real fear. What is it really a fear of, especially in a culture that has taught us, has catechized us, that death should be avoided at all costs, even in conversation, and that pain is never good? It's always bad, and there must always be some kind of solution for it. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about the pain of dying and the fear associated with it. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is our guest. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, author of the book Man Up and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pain of Dying. Jeff, welcome back.
It's great to be with you, Todd.
When people say that they don't fear death per se, but they fear the pain of dying, what kind of fear are they describing?
Well, I think it's still a fear of death, because pain draws out the process of dying, and it makes that event slow down so that we have to contemplate it. So there's a fear of pain everywhere. We eschew anything that would cause us pain. But I think particularly when it comes to dying, to endure pain in dying is to have to deal with the reality of death as it's slowly settling in. So instead of the opposite kind of death might be a quick death, a painless death in one's sleep, is usually how I hear that phrase. I just want to die painlessly in my sleep, because then you don't know that it's coming and it doesn't affect you in the process, such that you get from this life to be with Jesus, awaiting the day of his return, the resurrection of all the dead, without actually having to confront death. And pain forces us to do that, to confront death.
So that kind of, I don't want the slow, painful death. You say, oh Lord, don't let me have a slow, painful death. The litany of the church actually teaches us to pray for something very different. What does it teach us?
Yeah, so there's this line in the litany. When we slow down as we're moving through the litany, the great litany that we pray many times throughout the church year, says, from sudden and evil death, good Lord, deliver us. Because a sudden death is a death that we might not be prepared for, is the thought behind that petition. But a slow death and a death marked by pain is a death that calls us to prepare in the moment. A sudden death would leave us without time to gather loved ones, gather relatives, call our pastor, take care of whatever end-of-life affairs have not yet been dealt with. A slow death gives us time, even for others around us, to begin their grieving process. And a slow, painful death is sort of enduring that the dying even before it actually happens.
So I'm thinking about it. We almost intuit this when someone dies suddenly and unexpectedly, be it a young person or an old person, but someone who dies suddenly and unexpectedly, there is a vacuum left there for everyone involved, all the loved ones there, where that lack of the ability, the time to prepare is felt. Is that what you're discussing?
Yeah, exactly. You see this in the parish as well. people who experience a sudden death in the family are really struck by it in a way that people who are able to gather around a dying loved one are not. Now, we all grieve death, and death is always evil, no matter how it comes, always an aberration in the Lord's good creation and something that Jesus absolutely hates, so much so that he would die and rise in order to defeat death. But you can see this difference play out. Those who experience a sudden death have to do all of their grieving after the death has already occurred. And one of the things that greatly afflicts them is that they didn't have time, in their words, to say goodbye. They weren't there at the bedside. So a painless, quick death may seem preferable to the one dying, but it's certainly not to those of us who grieve the death of a loved one.
I was discussing this recently in a related subject with another guest, and I had reflected on the fact that when my mother passed away 4 years ago, I didn't experience the kind of grief I thought I would. And I think Pastor Bender was the guest at the time, and he said, well, your mom was sick for a long time, or she was suffering from various ailments. He said, you were already grieving beforehand. And so the death, while not painless, was prepared for, at least in my case.
Exactly. So the loved ones have an opportunity to grieve, to begin that grieving process, and to share it with the person who's dying as well. So there's that benefit of a drawn-out, slow, sometimes painful death as well.
We're talking with Pastor Jeff Hemmer. He's author of the book Man Up, in a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pain of Dying. We're talking about the fear of the pain in dying. When we come back, some prayers actually speak of what's called an unprovided death. We'll find out what that means next. Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with healing of the leper, faith of the centurion, Jesus heals many, cost of discipleship, and calming the storm. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the pain of dying. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is our guest. Jeff, some of these ancient prayers, they speak of what's called an unprovided death. What does that mean?
Yeah, so an unprovided death would be a death that one does not have time to get his affairs in order. It would be a quick death. It would be exactly what most people want, a sudden and unexpected death that you're not expecting, happens overnight in your sleep, something like that. So an unprovided death would not give the dying person time to call his pastor, for instance, to have someone, his pastor, pray the commendation of the dying with him, which itself is like an accordion kind of service that can expand to fill hours of time with scripture verses, long readings, with various hymn verses and prayers and a particular litany for the dying, the commending of that dying person into the care of the Father to wait with Jesus for the day of the resurrection. But an unprovided death would not give the person the awareness that death is about to come, so he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't call his pastor. He wouldn't receive, if he's still conscious, he wouldn't receive the body and blood of Jesus and the sacrament of the altar, which the church fathers call the medicine of immortality, in those hours before his dying. He wouldn't have the opportunity to gather his loved ones, to confess any sins to his pastor, to confess any sins to those in his family or friends that have burdened his conscience. And so that's what unprovided for means, that there's not time to get all of those affairs in order.
I think about this through the eyes of having served as a full-time parish pastor. And while you were talking, I was remembering the unprovided deaths that I experienced that in an inordinate amount of funerals, not only in my congregation, but in a vacancy at another larger congregation. I think I did 22 funerals in 1 year at one point. And some of them, you saw them coming. And then some of them, a guy goes out deer hunting. He's sitting at the base of a tree. He has a heart attack. And nobody gets to say goodbye. And as a pastor, it's very difficult to attend to that kind of thing. You have all of the comfort of Scripture, but your hands are tied as a pastor, aren't they?
Absolutely. Because there's that extra level of certainty when in a funeral sermon I can say, just 3 days ago, mere hours before she died, she received the medicine of immortality, the food that Jesus calls the bread from heaven, his body, which he gives for the life of the world, and whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever. And so even though right now we grieve the death of this loved one, there's a body in a casket causing us to grapple with our own mortality, we need not have doubt and uncertainty about this dear sister or brother in Christ who trusted in Jesus so much that as death approached slowly, was able to prepare for death by receiving the only things that have the power to destroy death, the risen body and blood of Jesus.
Talk about our culture's fear of both death and pain, that it eschews both.
Yeah, I think pain always reminds us of our own mortality, and pain by its nature is uncomfortable. So we want to be made comfortable as we are dying because that takes us away from the moment of death. But think rather how St. Paul describes pain and suffering in Romans 5, that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Well, as we suffer, is particularly in the pain of dying, it sharpens our hope for the only thing that really is the antidote to death, and that is the resurrection of Jesus and his promised raising of all the dead and eternal life for all his believers on the last day. So if we don't have that answer to death, if someone doesn't trust in Jesus for forgiveness and for eternal life raised from the dead, then pain simply reminds one of the finality of death. And it therefore rightly should scare us if we don't have that courage and that confidence that comes from a Lord who died and who rose and who gives us a share in his resurrection.
Martin Luther, by virtue of his distance in history, can speak some wisdom here, because he lived at a time where people experienced death throughout their lives more, I should say, probably more death per square inch in their lives than we have in our lives. What does he advise us in preparation for death?
Yeah, this is a beautiful quote. And notice how Luther is assuming a slow death. He says, "Let the sick person send word in time to call the chaplain or the pastor, and let him do so clearly enough while he is still in his right mind, before the illness overwhelms the patient. You might say, while he can still give his yes, his amen, to the pastor's question, 'Would you like to receive the sacrament? Are there sins that you would like to confess?'" Luther goes on, "The reason I say this is that some are so negligent that they make no request and send no message until the soul is perched for flight on the tip of their tongues and they are no longer rational or able to speak. But earlier, when the illness first began, they wanted no visit from the pastor, but would say, 'Oh, there's no need. I hope he'll get better.'" So see, the slow process of death is what it is, whether we are willing to acknowledge that it's happening or not. And I have had the privilege of praying the commendation of the dying with some folks several times. Sometimes the process of dying takes months. Sometimes it seems like the process of dying begins, and then someone recovers somewhat, returns home, and then 6 months down the road, you're praying the commendation of the dying with them again. But see, that's the way a Christian ought rightly approach death. As soon as death begins to stalk, he should call his pastor right away. And if that process takes months or years, it doesn't matter. He's well prepared by death, by what the Lord does to him in that moment. In our commending of that dear saint to the Lord in prayer, in the Lord feeding that person with his word, with his sacraments, his means of grace, and in his opportunity to confess whatever sins may still be burdening his conscience and receive forgiveness.
We're talking about the pain of dying. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is our guest on this Wednesday, September the 16th. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, author of the book Man Up, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pain of Dying. On the other side of the break, where does the courage to face the pain of death come from? Can pain teach us things, even the everyday pains that do not lead to death? And whatever the circumstances of death, what does it mean to die well?
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
We're talking about the pain of death with Pastor Jeff Hemmer of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. We're interviewing Pastor Hemmer from our new studios in Collinsville. A generous donor has agreed to match up to $200,000 for the property purchase and renovation. The total cost comes to $375,000. In 4 weeks, we've reached 70% of the match. You can earmark a donation and double your gift for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and the Word of the Lord Endures Forever, Learn more at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Jeff, where does the courage to face the pain of death? Because it's always going to be a fearful prospect. We don't like to be in pain. Where does that courage come from?
So courage can't come from inside me to face that moment of death. I will always be a coward if I look inside of myself. So just like the line from the hymn, Abide With Me, says, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. It's in Christ and in his death and the pain that he endured in death and the reason for his passion and his death is to redeem me and to buy the world back out of slavery to sin, and then his triumph over death in his death and resurrection, that's what gives me comfort. And so in the throes of death, in the midst of pain, courage will come from the example of Christ on the cross and from the promise that he gives in his resurrection that he will return and gather us to where he himself is.
What can pain teach us, maybe not even the pain leading up to death, but the daily pain that we suffer, be it the physical pain, the emotional pain, all of those ways that we experience that?
Yeah, every pain that we endure is really a kind of death. There was no pain in the garden, so pain always tells us that creation is not as the Lord intended it to be, and it always reminds us that we are creatures dying, and we're dying because of our sin. So the only real solution to pain is not to be found in any drug then. The real complete solution to pain is found in the resurrection of the dead, the day when the Lord gathers his believers to himself and wipes the tears away from their eyes, when there is then no more suffering or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So we mentioned Romans 5 earlier, and there St. Paul says, suffering of any kind, pain of any kind, eventually leads us to hope, and our hope does not disappoint us. Our hope is in a Lord who rose from the dead and who guarantees he will raise us from the dead.
I don't want to be misunderstood by our listeners that we are somehow advocating for making death painful, because Christians also want to extend palliative care to those who are facing death. Hospice is a great idea for people who need that kind of pain-relieving care. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, we're not masochists, but the pain is instructive, and it teaches us that death is truly evil. So I think there's kind of a middle ground there between looking for, seeking out pain, particularly in the dying process, and numbing pain with such strong narcotics that a person is no longer cognitively present, that he's on such strong drugs that they've completely knocked him out. I think there's a kind of middle ground, a way to deal with the most severe pangs of dying while also leaving a person conscious and able to communicate with loved ones, receive the gifts of God from the hand of his pastor. It walks that careful middle ground.
Whatever the circumstances of our death, whether it is sudden and evil as we pray against in the liturgy, or whether it is painful and one that for which we are able to prepare, what does it mean to die well?
Yeah, just like the hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, says, who dieth thus dies well. We said earlier, death is never good, but a good end, a blessed end, is the death of one who dies with faith in Jesus. And that can happen whether death is sudden, whether death is slow, whether death is painful or pain-free. A blessed end is when one dies with faith intact, dies trusting in the Lord who died and who rose and who will return, and no matter how one died, will be raised from the dead to dwell in the pain-free, death-free existence of the Lord renewed heavens and earth. That's always what pain points us forward to and calls us to maintain the faith. If we want to be free from pain, then only Jesus promises full and complete deliverance from pain. So dying with faith in Jesus is truly dying well.
I'm thinking of the person who's been told by their physician that they have stage 4 cancer and that they have months to live, and that these months, while they might be able to reduce the pain, are going to lead to death. Can that Christian actually say to their family, I'm thankful for this, not for the cancer itself, it's a result of sin and the fall, but I'm thankful for the circumstances because it allows all of us to walk toward my death with our eyes on Christ.
Yeah, dying well, dying with faith in Jesus is the last good work that any one of us gets to perform. And not only is it good for us to have that time in death, but it's good for us to set the example of what a Christian death looks like, and that is death with faith in Jesus. So if God gives us a slow death, if he gives us time to prepare, then he's giving us opportunity to show our family, to show our friends and loved ones what a Christian death looks like, so that they might emulate that example, so that even before death, they would emulate that faith. They would follow the example of trusting in Jesus for forgiveness, whatever life's circumstances, and they would see that this last courageous act of a Christian dying with faith in Jesus, knowing that Jesus will raise him from the dead, is truly a good work to be emulated.
Isn't that, at least in that sense, not to diminish in any way the confession of the martyrs, but isn't that, in a sense, a way of talking about every Christian's death as a martyrdom, as a testimony to their loved ones, to the world, of their hope in the resurrection of Christ?
Sure. In exactly what the word martyr means, it means to witness. So whether we witness by surrendering our lives when called to offer sacrifice to Caesar, or whether we witness by demonstrating to our loved ones how to face death courageously, and how to know that death is not the final word for those who belong to the Word which is eternal, the Word which never ends, the Word who promises he will raise us from the dead.
Again, you're not saying that Christians have to be stoic about this. You're just saying keep a stiff upper lip when death comes knocking. There's so much more to it than that.
Yeah, and I think we also can endure a kind of grieving process of our own as we approach death. It is evil. It is an aberration in the Lord's good creation, and it's so much a cancer in his creation that Jesus was willing to die in our place, to undo death's power forever, to break its stranglehold over his creation, and to make it good again. And for now, we just wait for the renewal of that creation, but his death has forever broken death's power.
Isn't that finally what Jesus was doing with his disciples? Even though he clearly promised them his resurrection, he continued to tell them, I'm going to Jerusalem.
Right.
I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed. And I'm going to be crucified and on the third day rise again. He was catechizing them toward his own death.
Yeah, and he's giving them opportunity to grieve. There must be grief. And even when his friend Lazarus dies, Jesus still grieves before it happens, knowing that he will raise Lazarus from the dead. So no Christian need be stoic, and pain often will elicit a variety of emotions, anger, sadness, whatever, but it still clearly is a clarion call to get our affairs in order to be prepared for the moment of our death.
Before we let you go, you're author of the book Man Up. What can you tell us about it?
So Man Up is, just like this conversation has been, a book all about Jesus. But in a world that has sold us an egalitarian bill of goods, that men and women are all the same, they're interchangeable with one another, Man Up holds up the example of Jesus as the perfect man who is complementary to his bride, the church, in whom men can find forgiveness for our own failures to live up to the holy calling of masculinity, and also in whom men can find an example of what it means truly to be a man.
You can purchase Man Up by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Jeff Hemmer is pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, author of the book Man Up, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Pain of Dying. Jeff, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Todd. Good to be with you.
Up next, we're going to be talking about 3rd century Bishop Cyprian of Carthage in the Lutheran Confessions. He gets mentioned a lot in the church, just so happens, to be remembering Cyprian on this day, September the 16th. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study, produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Cyprian of Carthage is next.
With the growth of the evangelical mega churches, especially of the seeker-driven and purpose-driven type, we've had an entire generation of kids who have never experienced any kind of meaningful form of catechesis or even basic biblical instruction.
Pastor Chris Roseborough speaking at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
As a result of this, they have never been exposed to what the Bible teaches regarding the one true God who exists in three eternal persons. The reason why the doctrine of the Trinity exists is because this is exactly what God has revealed about himself.
You can watch and listen to Chris Roseborough's presentation, Making the Case for the Trinity, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $250. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size, and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.